Well, I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 98 this morning. Psalm 98. Invite you as well. Kids, you are dismissed for Children's Church if you're part of that age group. There's sermon notes in your worship folder. I invite you to use those if that would be something that helps you. On the back side of it, we try to prepare some various questions that you can use throughout the week just to think about and to stir your more understanding in your life as we look at this passage. We've been going through this series on praise, a word that is used in several different places, lots of places throughout Scripture. In fact, it's one of the most instructed things that we're called to do. Beyond prayer is praise. And so, but when we see this word of praise, we tend to think of one kind of way. And so we've been looking at all the different ways that Scripture instructs us to praise the Lord. In fact, there's seven different Hebrew words. And it's this wide-ranging expression that we would do well to learn how to express our thankfulness, our surrender, our hope to God. Because unlike if in life you have a hammer and that's all you have, then everything starts to look like a nail. And so let's learn some other tools today. We've learned so far about that sometimes we're just called to dance. To get your boogie on. We've learned in a couple of different ways that we're called to raise our hands in surrender, in praise. We've learned that sometimes we're called to shout our praise, almost like a war cry. And today, as we look forward to this next word, let's just start. And you're going to kind of understand where we're going pretty quick when I state this. Music is powerful. Music is powerful. There's no denying that what we hear can be very impactful when combined in any experience of what we're seeing. Sometimes more so. Because the music has a sense of opening up different things. I was thinking about it, and many of you understand I enjoy watching movies and experiencing movies and doing things, and I was thinking about what it would be like if I was watching Indiana Jones, and here he is pulling out the whip or running from the stone, and you didn't hear, dun-da-dun-dun, dun-da-dun, and he's just running. Music has, and the soundtracks of life and in movies have a way of impacting us in powerful ways. Think about Jaws. Dun dun, dun dun, dun dun. Kids that have never seen Jaws already are impacted as they start to say dun dun, dun dun. I can give countless examples of iconic soundtracks through life because the music in our life speaks loudly and powerfully. So how we worship God through music is incredibly important. Because we, as we continue to seek God, to praise God, we need to open up our expanse. So let's look with Psalm 98. It's not a very long song, but it's a powerful one. It says this, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations." "He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout to the for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound, everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. This psalm is helping us. And it has a lot of different references to music. It helps us with this word, this fifth word of in the Hebrew. It's the word zamar. It's to celebrate in song and music involving the use of voice as well as the instrument. In other words, we are literally called to musically praise the Lord. And it's best done when it's not just 30 minutes on a Sunday. That it should be in a lot of different aspects of our life. That we would praise the Lord. It's zamar is the root of the word translated psalm, which is sometimes translated as song. It encompasses this wide range of musical expression of that we glorify God with, and it expresses the biblical reason of why we have all these different instruments at our disposal. Because these instruments, whether it be vocal or some of the ones that are behind me, help us to take, when put in the right hands. My hands would not be the right one for this. I can make a joyful noise with them, but it would be noise. But put in the right hands, I think of Brent and Kent and Shirley and Stan and so many others, Dusty, that when put in the right hands, they take the notes and they take the chords and they blend them together in such a way that we have this vehicle of praise to ride on as we glorify God. So we need to understand it's important to praise God through this expression of zamar, of music and song, because there is an incredible power found within music. For instance, music is powerful because it softens hard hearts. Music can tap into something inside of us that just resonates when we hear it. There's a story given by a pastor in England. And he shared that there was a man who was on his way to commit suicide. He was going to jump into the Thames River off of a bridge. And as he was headed, you know, mindset on what he was going to do, he'd lost all hope, given up on everything. As he was walking there, he happened to walk by a church with open windows. And he didn't hear a sermon being preached. But what he did hear was these voices being lifted to heaven as they sang their praise to the Lord. And he says that this man was stopped in his tracks and almost annoyed in the fact that through what he was hearing, he came to the realization, I still want to live. It wasn't a sermon that stopped him. It was the joyful noise of a people extolling the praise of God. He heard the voices, the singing of the people that helped him understand that life was worth living. And he ended up turning around, going in, and his life was forever changed. Which is also a good reminder for us that our zamar, Our song, our music of praise isn't just for us. We praise, we can't be selfish in our praise that it has to be our way. But we adhere and let God lead us. But similarly, music is powerful because it soothes our souls. Let's be honest. Sometimes our souls are weary. They're tired. They can be a bit fragile. They can be testy. Even as we walk into a church, even as we encounter the body of Christ, we can have a bad mood. And I can even think of times where throughout my life, different periods, I was moody. My wife's not going to say amen, hopefully, but it's in those moments that sometimes God would best speak. As I turned on the radio, and whether it be in a car or in my room as a teenager or on a walk, that my heart would be opened. And for some reason, and all I can attest is it's God using this music to counter what was going on within me. That it just has the ability to unlock something within me. Unlock and change that mood. A classic text for this is 1 Samuel 16. Up to this point, and this is a really interesting point, Saul has been king and he's done some stupid things. Samuel has told him, hey, God's going to replace you. And Samuel's gone off and he's anointed David after dad brings in all the boys but David. And David, up to this point, he's just kind of been in his own world, out there living in obscurity, just out on in the fields with the sheep. He's been focusing on improving his craft, whether it be with a slingshot or something else, you know, in learning how to work with those sheep. And I'm sure there was a lot of downtime. So what is he doing? He's practicing his craft of music as well. Meanwhile, in verse 14 of this chapter, we find that Saul is all kinds of out of sorts. I mean, he's in a bad way. And he's being tormented by an evil spirit. And so his team of leaders come up to him and they say, hey, King, we can tell some things are going on inside of you. So let's do this. Let you instruct us, your servants here, to search for someone who can play the harp. And he will play when these evil spirits come upon you and you'll feel better. And Saul agrees. And a servant responds. He says, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. That's the first description. But what caught me is this as well. He is a brave man and a warrior, which speaks to his future as well. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man. And the Lord is with him. So if you're tasked as a servant to find the king, somebody to play some music into his life, you're going to do the best to find the best. And David is out there, no idea anybody's looking. He's just kind of doing his thing. It kind of makes me think of Lenny in his office where he's just playing his music. And he's just practicing, doing his thing, watching the sheep. Having them respond, you know, who knows, maybe he's getting to Baa at the right time. But he has so developed his skills and his abilities to the point that people recognize his gift. And they all, when the people come looking, everybody says, you got to go to Bethlehem. You got to go out into the field to that guy named David, the son of Jesse. So they send word to Jesse. Jesse packs up his son and sends him on to the king. And from that moment forward, whenever Saul would get in a bad mood, David would play music to soothe him. And we'll admit, at one point, get some spears thrown at him as he does it. But to Zamar, this combination of music and praise, we need to understand it can challenge and change what is going on within us. And the thing about it is, David later on, as he's kind of writing his epitaph, he doesn't talk about the battles. He doesn't talk about Goliath. He doesn't talk about being this military leader or all the things when he wants to do it. What he does talk about is he wanted to be the great song leader for God. And the reality for us is this, is in a similar way, if we can get control of the battles in here, we're better equipped to deal with the battles out there as we give God the praise. Because music is powerful as it switches our frequency. I was thinking about that word frequency. For most people nowadays, if you look it up, it's just how often you do something. But I'm old enough to have experienced the analog in life. Some of you will understand this. Our younger people that live by streaming and digital everything won't. But my first experiences with TV was I was the antenna. That I would get up and hold on to that antenna. And you'd do this balancing act as you're trying to watch TV because you couldn't get quite the right signal. As if I was in the car and we're driving along, what did you do? Certain places you'd get and the signal would start to get out. So you start to get the static and the fuzz and not the clear picture of robust sound that was being pushed out. So you'd take that outer knob and you just turn it one way or the other to try and fine tune the signal. Music, and I want to say specifically, music of praise can take us from a position of trying to focus on what's only here, where we're surrounded by the static of busyness and the static of pressure and finances and world and all the different things that encompass everything around us. And in the midst of that, if we can get our head in Christ and we allow the Holy Spirit to come upon us and get involved, impossible things then become possible. Because something allows us then to point to God in our response. And as we do that, things change. And so we should be praying, God, train me in this. Help me to keep my focus. May you receive the glory. May you receive the honor. Even in the midst of the stress of everything, so that in how I prepare, and now I see and I open my eyes and things are different. Because your praise is changing me. That I can see things are different. So here's my Zamar. Here's my song of praise to you, God. Use it. Change me, even as you change what's around me. Second Kings chapter 3. Three different kings have come together, the king of Israel, Judah, and Edom, because Moab is marching. And they've kind of formed this alliance, and they decide to head out toward the battle together rather than separately. And it says that they've kind of, it says after a roundabout march of 7 days, the army had no more water for themselves or for the animals with them. So the king of Israel exclaimed, as he looks at himself, "Man, has God just called us together just to hand us to Moab?" And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, says, "Well, is there not a prophet of the Lord around here that we can kind of get some information from of what's going on?" And the king of Israel didn't answer, but an officer of him did. And he said, "Well, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here." You got to love this description. "He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah." So if you're understanding this, the translation, well, he's not Elijah, but he knew him. He's not Elijah, but, you know, he's a servant, and maybe he can do something. And Jehoshaphat just says, "Hey, the word of the Lord is with him." Because it's not about the man, it's about the word and what he's communicating. God's word is the issue. So the kings go to him. And Elisha sees the king of Israel and says, "Man, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I'd just be walking the other way from you. I'd have no time for you." But instead, these two kings are going to get blessed because of Jehoshaphat's righteousness. Which is a reminder for us that that's part of the church's calling. That as we live in our communities, in our jobs, in our homes, that we are to be the blessing that extends to those that are living counter to what God has called us to. And so maybe God has sent you into a place that doesn't seem quite right, so that you can be the blessing that points to God. So notice verse 15, Elisha orders, "Well, bring me a musician." And then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. The frequencies got right. The static disappeared. Elisha understood. And he gives him this prophecy. It's kind of why we do what we do on a Sunday morning. That we don't just do a TED talk up here, if you're familiar with that, what that is. But that we begin in praise. We begin in song. And the importance of that is that it does all these different things. It's not for entertainment. It's not about this thing or that way that we do it. It's about priming the pump. It's about understanding and getting us ready to receive what God has for us. It's about tuning our hearts and our minds to receive that word. It opens up the receptivity of our hearts as it builds this preparation inside us. And the text goes on that Elisha receives this prophecy. And we're not going to get into all of that part. But what's the thing is, he says, "You know what? You don't have any water? Get your men out there and start digging ditches." And the kings are like, "What? That's stupid. We don't have water. We're hot. We're tired. You're going to tell us to go dig ditches? Aren't you supposed to say, well, do this, you know, God's just going to provide?" He says, "Go dig ditches." He says, "But that'll make us sweat. Sweating without more water gets us dehydrated, and all of a sudden you're going to kill us." He says, "Go dig ditches." Because Elisha knew that God was up to something. He knew that God would provide. And the water that God would provide would only remain in the places they had dug deep. So they needed to use their last bit of energy to dig ditches, to dig these pools. It was about faith. It was about understanding that their tasks were their tasks, and God's provision would only come as they acted in faith. So if they're going to get digging, they needed to do it. And understanding that the rest was God. Commentary says that those that expect God's blessings must prepare room for them. If we want to have room to receive what God has for us, we need to do the things that seem impossible by faith. It begins with a sacrifice of praise. It's giving when it doesn't make sense. In our praise in song, in our praise in attitude, our praise in understanding that God, you are faithful. You've been here before. Nothing's too big for you. Nothing's too beyond your understanding. And so we sit here and praise for you that it gets us to a point that understands that these grooves that God can fill, he wants to send down to us. But sometimes we have to do some work. It's the switching of frequencies that we need, because often we get so focused on just what's right in front of us and what we can control. We get focused on what I can do. I have my this, my that. That we lose focus of God can. God will. Praise brings us back into this spiritual faith-filled focus and prepares us for what God can do if we let him. You see, in the midst of there's the power of music, and it's combined with a changing of our understanding and our mood, and they intertwine in such a way that it actually changes your expectation of what we're going to see. We can choose to start our day with, oh, not this again. Or we can look at it with, God, it's your day. The old song, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. We can choose to start with a spirit of praise that will cause us to see better things, and we can choose to labor just within our own strength, or we can choose to expect what we can only do, or we can leave it in God's hands and just say, God, it's all yours. Fill the ditches. I'm going to do what I'm called to do, but it's all in your hands, because it's all about you. Music is powerful also because it can set right the things that are broken or misplaced within us. Music is medicine. In Chinese, the symbol for medicine includes the symbol for music. There's just something about that. I mean, you can look up, and there's lots of different studies of science and medicine and all these things about how good music can lift us up and can affect us in different ways. There's a big study on how different the experiences of being in a patient in a hospital where music is played. There's studies about how it can affect our blood pressure and what it can do in slowing a rapid heartbeat down. Studies have pointed to music raising the rates of immunoglobulin A and all sorts of other good things that are good for us. Music of praise is a good part of medicine for us, not just physically, but in our soul. And that's why God calls us to praise Him. In part because God knows the power of it. And how does He know? Well, there's a past within music. We may be in the present, but there's a past. And I mean, we can look all the way back to the very beginnings of the creation of earth. God's creating the world. There was music. Job tells us that the morning star sang the joy of God as He created the earth. And that's kind of why, in part, music tugs at us the way it does. It's hardwired into us that we can't help but feel the traces of God's power within us as we engage in praise in music. And I think of the angels and the stars themselves singing as God created. Music was a part of the beginning of the story, of our story. That the angels and the earth and all creation rejoiced before Him as He laid the very foundations of this world. As He rejoiced in His inhabited world and His delight in man. There was a soundtrack to creation. Dun, 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 dun. But it's also part of our future. When we get to step into that final time, into God's new creation, as we look to the future, we'll understand that there's something about the original creation and its song that will be unlocked again. I think of Isaiah and his picture. It's not just the angels crying out. It's the angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Everything goes right again, and all the full features of creation are unlocked. And to think about the future of music is to understand our past, and its past from the very beginning. It's this prophetic pointing to where music will lead us one day, that we will all be in praise of a holy God, singing with joy. God knows the power of music. And not only to imagine this heavenly scene for us of trees clapping their hands, of hills rejoicing. Jesus says that if we do not praise the Lord, the rocks will cry out. And the power of that to overcome the negative side effects of our world is very real. God wants us to unleash this holy imagination that comes through His praise. That all things are possible when it's in His hands. That all things should give glory to Him in our life. That we would be part of this understanding of shalom, of that we wish the best of God's blessings on everybody. And that I get to be a part of that as I respond to God's holiness and God's faithfulness. And I can almost hear the sound of creation. And as we listen in to the sound of revelation, and in this point in between that we now stand, caught between the past and the future, we can be a part of this beautiful chorus of Zamar, of praise. Understanding, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. Thou great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Heavenly Father, we come before you. May you receive our praise. May you receive glory today. May our frequency be focused in on you and all that you are possible of doing, of your love that has gone before us and also stands in our past. Through your salvation, through your mercy and grace. And so, God, receive our praise today as we sing to you, as we focus in on your word, as we focus in on your works. May you heal us and give us a holy imagination. In your name we pray. Amen.